Thank you, Bob, for joining me today. I'm Leslie Cornwell, the CEO with Midwifery Business Consultation, and Bob Huttinga and I have known each other for years. He's been a physician's assistant since 1976, and he has been a certified natural health practitioner since 2004. So he is a wealth of knowledge, and I really value his expertise. He has a unique position running the Healing Center in Lakeview, and he does a lot of house calls and balances that small private practice. I call it the old school model. I love to still see it in the communities. So I asked Bob to come in and talk with our audience, not so much that he has a background in midwifery, but running your own private practice, being a physician's assistant, balancing alternative and medical model. I really thought it'd be great to pick Bob's brain today.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. So Bob's been practicing for 44 years, and he has so many books and seminars and things out there. I'll put a link at the bottom of the description, so if anybody wants to learn more from Bob. The biggest questions I wanted to pick Bob's brain today were, how do you balance doing alternative therapies with modern medicine, giving education, treatment, your position on it all?
Well, I think it's really important that people have access to both. There are many times that surgery is indicated or prescription medicine is indicated, but there's also times when herbs and essential oils and homeopathy can accomplish the same thing, and oftentimes with less risk and sometimes more efficiently. Often we see people coming for cancer treatment, for example, and their doctor said, well, I can't do anything more for you. Why don't you go get some natural help? And we recommend that people start doing both at the same time. You know, if somebody has cancer, they should be taking care of their nutrition and adding herbs and homeopathy, as well as doing chemo and radiation. They really need to be integrated together.
So how would you, as a practitioner, especially being nurse midwives, we're not trained in traditional more medical model versus alternatives. Do you have some recommendations for resources for them to go to learn more about alternative therapies?
Well, the one of the programs that I took was Certified Natural Health Practitioner, and this was done through Trinity University. Yeah, I think it's in Indiana, but I'm not sure. The courses were taught in Lansing, so we didn't really actually go to the school there, but that was done through Trinity University, and I really haven't had much contact with them lately, but that was a good resource. And then I took my homeopathy training through Robin Murphy. He has Lotus Institute in Blacksburg, Virginia, but he has a really nice internet course. And all of that can be done online or by purchasing a set of CDs. Or back in my day, it was cassette tapes. But
I'm sure you still have them.
Yeah, but I don't have anything to listen to them on. But so there's lots of opportunity for training. I did quite a bit of training through multi-level marketing companies like Young Living, and we also use Nature Sunshine products, and they have lots of training going on. So we did a lot of that. And of course, I do my regular CME for my PA license. And so I stay up on the traditional medicine as well as alternative kind of things.
So how would you say to balance both sides of your education when you're presenting to a patient, a client, how do you document, how do you present things so that you're covering FDA and the traditional medical route, and you're also giving them choices of alternative therapies?
Well, I just make sure I have notes in my records that either specify this is a person who's already interested in natural health, and they may come to me for recommendations, so they're requesting information. If this is a person who's brand new to alternative medicine, I just put in my notes that I explained this to them and they were aware that it is not the traditional treatment. I explained the traditional treatment and the alternative, and they choose to do this or to do that.
Yeah.
So it's really the most important thing, just clarification in the notes. We also have people sign a permission at the onset of their visit, not every visit, but the first time they come, acknowledging that traditional treatment will be offered as well as alternative.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Just getting a good balance. I think there's so many nurse midwives get more nervous, especially in the hospital setting, working for a facility to be able to offer alternative therapies, even though there's so many great options out there.
Yeah, I used to work in an urgent care, and I did get myself in trouble a few times with recommending things that the staff didn't understand or something like that. But, you know, that's part of the business.
Yeah, I think that's the advantage of running your own private practice. You get more autonomy to be able to give more education and styles of...
Yes, yeah. In the hospitals, you're definitely limited by, their guidelines and their risk management people and so on.
Yeah. Well, it's just the most of the nurses, the medical assistants, the doctors, the team that you work with as a midwife and as a physician's assistant just have a very different route of training. They don't have.
Right.
And so it's a big barrier when you're trying to do both sides. So,
yeah.
I would love to pick your brain because I know you've had the Healing Center for many, many years. When did you guys open?
It was 2005.
Okay. So with it being open for so long, how would you say if someone's considering doing their own private practice, the pros and cons of being privately running your own business versus an employee for somebody else? What are the pros and cons?
Well, there are certain advantages to both. When a person works for somebody, especially for a hospital, usually there's all the benefits, health insurance and often life insurance and paid vacation and paid CME and those kind of things. When you work for yourself, you have to pay for all of that yourself. On the other hand, that's all a write-off against your income, so there's advantages there. For me, the biggest advantage of having my own clinic is I can make my own choices, not only business choices, but also the treatment choices. So I'm not limited by a hospital system that says, well, sorry, you can't talk to them about homeopathic remedies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the advantage, you have the freedom as having your own business, but then you also have some limitations because when you go on vacation, you don't have any income. This past winter, we spent 3 months in the South. What I would do is we'd go down for 3 weeks to Florida, or we were in California also. Then my wife would stay with our daughter in Florida, and I would come home and work for a week. And then I'd go back to Florida for 3 weeks and then back home. And so I really love doing this kind of work. I was getting kind of bored anyway with golfing every day and all that sunshine. So, yeah. But the advantage of having your own business is you can do that.
You can choose. You can make choices. You're not having an employer saying, nope. How many people can say they can go to California for 3 weeks and then choose to work for a week and go back again for 3 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to ask anybody. Except your wife, of course, but
yes.
But so that's really nice. The downside is that if you're used to 2 or 3 weeks of paid vacation, when you don't work, then your receivables or your collections go down, and so you have to take all those things into account.
Well, I think it's really important when you make your fee schedule and you do that good foundation business planning, you're compensating. Yes. Your salary is not just your time. It's all these other benefits you'd get. It's always interesting when someone's applying for an independent contract position versus a W-2 wage, you should be hiking up your rate 20-30% because you've got all these other taxes and things. So it's all about creating a good, yes, you can still have a paid quote-unquote vacation, but it's got to be part of your business planning.
Yeah. I ran a business a number of years ago called Temporary PA Services.
Okay.
And what I would do is I'd go into a doctor's office on his day off. So I'd go to one office on Tuesday, a different one on Wednesday, a different one on Thursday. And I would fill in while the doctor was taking his day off. And I actually did that. I actually doubled the going rate for PAs at the time, and that's what I charged them. And they were very willing to pay that because mm-hmm. I saw enough patients to cover that. Mm-hmm. And it was much more convenient because I could answer all the questions and call in the prescriptions and see the walk-in patients. And the staff, they were happy because there was somebody there to take some of that load off of them. But the point is I could charge much more because I had to build in, I had to pay all my own taxes, had to pay my transportation, account for Steve me and vacation time. So
yeah. Well, and I think it's well. Your knowledge and your value too. It's having right. anybody present themselves of what are you, that's how you create wealth. That's how you create financial freedom is you present what your value, your worth, your knowledge, and if it can make them money and you make money at the same time, that's what makes success.
Yeah. And, or if it doesn't make the money, it provides convenience or some value, some benefit that they are looking for. So
yeah, I know time is a valuable thing, especially a busy, I'm sure, doctor where he's like, I don't get a day off, even if I don't make money or break even, it's a value of that time to get a little break. So
yep.
And the other question I have with the trend with healthcare and the pandemic and so many things happening every year, our healthcare cost gets more and more expensive. I can see private practices, small overheads going through the roof because people are getting sick of the assembly line. People are getting sick of paying a ton of money, insurance not covering things. If I got to pay out of pocket, I might as well go to somewhere I want to go and I know I'm going to get good care. Are you seeing those same trends?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing that. We actually have patients who have health insurance, but we don't participate with that particular plan. And they come and see us anyway and pay cash because I spend more time. I have very low overhead. I have a receptionist who answers the phone. I don't have an MA. I don't have a nurse. Our business, our building is paid for. So we have utilities and those kind of overhead expenses, but nothing like a huge staff like many offices have. So that's the other real advantage of having your own business. Mm-hmm. But definitely that low overhead allows me to see more or give patients more time and not have to pack my schedule trying to see six patients an hour like they do at some of the clinics.
Yeah, that quality versus quantity, that's part of running your own practice. You can definitely see a lot less people and still get paid good money because it's yeah. not going, you're just a piece of the puzzle when you're working for somebody else. They're paying you a fraction of what they're making because you're right. just part of it. So it's definitely amazing how people don't understand. You can see 6-8 people make it profitable with the right services and that marketing. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And people are very willing to pay cash for the value. That's the most important part. Mm-hmm. I see people from Grand Rapids because they got referred by somebody who was very satisfied. And, you know, they may pay $150 for an office visit and be very pleased with that. So.
Yeah, I think the power of referrals and just the marketing, I think, did you guys do much marketing in the beginning for your business?
Oh, yeah.
I know, you did in the beginning.
We did a lot, yeah. We advertised in a magazine in Grand Rapids, the Natural Awakenings, it was called. Mm-hmm. And then we had a billboard for a while. So we did a lot of advertising in the beginning. You have to get your name out there. Mm-hmm. And then the internet with writing articles and having a blog and doing videos, and pretty soon you get quite a presence on Google. So
Yeah, I think it's becoming the expert. Once you brand your name and brand who you are, like everybody, I know they call you Dr. Bob all the time, even though you're a physician's assistant, but you're known throughout almost the whole state. It's very impressive to me, but it's the years of experience and the knowledge you have and your demeanor. I mean, you're very impressive to me, so I appreciate you, Bob, in my life.
Well, thank you. One of the things I did early on was start writing a newspaper column. And after I had written about 200 columns, then I took all that information and put it into a book. So I didn't have to sit down and laboriously write a book. I wrote it a little bit at a time over about a 5-year period. But that information became very valuable to a lot of people. And it's like free advertising. So. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's what I found with doing online courses, blogs, the more repetition a midwife, a business owner can get of their name. And instead of talking to somebody over and over and over again, if you have a resource like your book, people, you can direct them to it and they're right. going to get far more value of paying for the book than picking your brain for 12 hours. So,
well, when you're working for somebody, you feel your value is just in your you know, what you can produce and you get paid your wage, but you think medicine more than business.
Yeah.
When you're on your own, you have to do both. Now, when you're in front of the patient, you think medicine. Yeah. You don't think about the money, but mm-hmm. afterwards, then you have to put on your business hat and make sure that that works too, so you can continue to do what you're doing.
No, I 100% agree. And when you had touched on the entrepreneur mindset versus the employer mindset, there is a big shift. And I think some people get really nervous mentally shifting into that mindset. I don't think it's something you do overnight. I strongly encourage people, if they're thinking of starting a business, to do courses, do talk to other business owners to see if that mindset is really what you're looking for.
And also what I did starting out was some kind of part-time independent contractor.
That's type a great
stuff,
idea. Mm-hmm.
So that you don't have this huge jump or huge shift. You do it kind of gradually and you get comfortable with what you can do as an independent versus an employee.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea for people that want to just test the water. They're like, I don't want to jump all in. I like my job security right now. Yeah. I mean, there's not a ton of job security at the moment, but the mindset is a big jump. So I love the idea of doing a little bit of independent contracting and what you want to do, especially if it's consulting work, something that's a little more flexible. Yeah. Birthing right. babies is a little hard to do one day a week, but.
Yeah, that they come on their own schedule, don't they?
They do. They do. Is there any other advice you can think of, Bob, to let midwives that are potential students or thinking of starting their own business that would really help them in the decision making?
No, I think it depends on the individual's personality. There are people that just don't have enough confidence in themselves that they're just going to stay working for somebody else. And that's fine. That confidence to be out on your own develops over time. And I don't think a brand new student out of school should be thinking about opening their business. They need to get their feet wet, get a lot of experience, mm-hmm. and keep their eyes and ears open for the business part. Yeah. You know, rather than just focusing on the medicine, how does the business work? You know, ask questions, get with the accountant, start looking at, you know, what it takes to do something independently. Mm-hmm. And there's many businessmen are very willing to help and share and help you get started. So.
Yeah, especially for certified professional midwives, because they don't have the option of joining a hospital team like a nurse midwife does. Mm-hmm. They are planning on starting their business as a new graduate, but I think having a business mentor, maybe having a partner you're going to take over for a retired midwife, like having that business mentor that's already doing what you want to do, because you're a brand new graduate. It's a lot to have a learning curve clinically and on the business side. So I 100% agree.
Yeah, so if you can partner with somebody starting out, that's really a great way to do it, so that you can learn from these individuals. And I'm sure there are lots of midwives that would like to have a partner so they don't have to go out on every on every call and be overwhelmed by too much activity. So
yeah, being on call 24/7 for babies, it's amazing, but it's got this underlining anxiety. So if you can get, I push it a lot in my other courses in preventing midwifery burnout, having a core team of 2 to 3 midwives for your practice. And that's why I always have students with me, growing midwifery, getting those potential business partners is just vital.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just talking about on call, it's an interesting thing. I, for 15 years, have taken all my own call, even when I'm out of town. And I freely give all my patients my phone number and my cell phone number and my email. And a lot of people now are texting rather than calling, mm-hmm. which then allows a little bit of time to respond and so on.
Do some research a little bit. Yeah, give you a little break.
Mm-hmm. And initially when I started to do that, I always was kind of on edge, worried about what kind of thing was going to come over the phone. But with time and experience, it's no big deal. You just answer those things. And if you have to go out, like on a house call or deliver a baby, you're committed to do that. So
yeah.
The on-call thing can be overwhelming, but you just have to accept that that's what you're doing and that's what you're getting paid for. And, why people are going to want to come to you because you're offering that service.
Yeah, and that's part of creating your business structure. You chose to do a solo route, and you can always choose to add employees yourself to your business. You can choose a small private practice. You can choose a medium practice. You can choose a large practice. So there's pros and cons, and I'm sure that's another conversation for another day. Choosing, and typically midwives tend to be solo and smaller, and then they have backups in the area to help them out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very, very much, Bob. And I am going to give just a little teaser, but there'll be a description at the bottom. Bob is doing an amazing video seminar, and you can give more details of it, about COVID-19 and alternative treatment. So if you want to talk about that briefly, I'm excited for it to come out.
Well, one of the things that we did with this is we first started out using some of the available homeopathic remedies. And then I decided, you know, people need to be able to make their own remedy at home and not get blocked by shortages and hoarding and things like that, because that's what was happening. The some of the remedies that were recommended just got sold out in a day. And so people can make their own remedy for this. And so we've created a couple videos to help people through that process. So it's a very specific recipe. And those will be available through a website, bobhutt.com. So
okay,
B-O-B-H-U-T-T, bobhutt.com.
Okay, and I will add a link to the bottom as well.
We're not selling the remedies. The FDA is actually really frowning on the selling of homeopathic remedies specifically for COVID.
So by
teaching people to make their own, all that political stuff goes out of the window. So
yeah, it's hard sometimes. You want to do the right thing, and you've got to, regulations can be good and bad when running your own private practice.
Yep, exactly.
So, well, thank you very, very much, Bob. And
okay,
I appreciate your time. Yeah, you have a great day.
Very good. Bye-bye.